as you know, last week, if you were here, last week we started a new series called Broken But Beautiful, where we're going to be looking at the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And I said to you last week, indeed, as you look at the church in North America, you can say the church is broken, whether it's Christian nationalism, residential school fallout. This last week, I read of another three churches that are in really having a significant struggle because their leadership, their pastor in particular, has been involved in some immoral or unethical stuff. The church is broken. But on the other hand, while broken, the church is also really beautiful. You know, I mentioned last week the Los Angeles Dream Center feeding, giving out 5 million meals during COVID to help the hungry. You know, our Mission San Quintin that we were just talking about in the announcements, you know, the area we've been working in has gone from 20 police calls a day to one or two police calls a day because of what Jesus has been doing through people. I think of the baptisms we have in our baptismal tank and the testimonies that are shared there and how Jesus is transforming lives. And you go, yes, the church can be broken, but it also can be very, very beautiful. And I was thinking this last week, the church is most beautiful when its focus is right. When the church has the right focus, that is when it is most beautiful. And the church has its right focus when it puts and it keeps its focus on the risen Christ. And so today, as we continue in our series, we're going to focus on a powerful vision of who Jesus is in the present. But first, if you weren't here last week, or if you were and you weren't paying attention, let me give you a quick review. In the 90s AD, Christ followers were being persecuted, even killed, for following Jesus. And the Emperor Domitian had demanded that all his subjects worship him as Lord. John refused to do this. And so he was branded as a troublemaker, and he was sent to the island of Patmos. There, John wrote the book of Revelation, a book that is a letter and a prophecy. It's also what is called apocalyptic literature. And apocalyptic literature seeks to pull back the curtain. It shows us things are not as they seem. Or, I think more exactly put, things are not only as they seem. Apocalyptic literature also uses fantastic imagery, as we're going to see this morning. So, here's the setting. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. On the Lord's day, I, that's John, was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see a voice that was speaking to me. John was worshiping in the power of the Holy Spirit one Sunday when he heard a loud voice behind him. It wasn't a voice in his head. It was a voice behind him. And so he turned to look. And what he saw changed him. And my prayer is what we're going to see will change us. So let me pray for us before we look at the vision. Father, thank you for today. Thank you that we can come into this place or we can watch online. And Father, thank you that what we're about to hear and see, may it change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the vision. John heard a voice behind him. He turned, and this is the vision. Here it is, verse 12. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing water. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Let's walk through that vision together. When John turned, he saw seven golden lampstands. Now, in verse 20 of this chapter, we find out that the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So the church here has the image of a lampstand. And that would have reminded the seven churches in Asia Minor, who the book of Revelation is written to, that they were called to be a light. They were called, if you will, to be a city on a hill that shines brightly so people can see Jesus. And that calling is still ours today. As a church, we're to shine brightly in the city and beyond so people can see Jesus. And then it says this, and among the lampstands, among, Christ was in the middle of those lampstands. He was right there in the middle of those churches, those persecuted churches, those churches that were struggling. Jesus was right in the middle of them. And he still is in the middle of his church today. As we gather today to worship, Jesus is present and active among us. That is one of the unseen realities of the present. Jesus is here. And John says, among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. John was referring here to a figure in that great vision that God gave the prophet Daniel hundreds of years before. That vision is found in the Old Testament book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7. And in that vision, the phrase, one like the Son of Man, is referring to the central figure in all of history. A pre-existent heavenly being whose kingdom cannot be destroyed, whose dominion will not pass away, who has all authority, glory, and power, who will one day be worshipped by all. And who is this one like the Son of Man? It's the risen Jesus. Do you know the primary title Jesus used of himself in the Gospels was Son of Man? Jesus is that commanding, redeeming, glorious figure that John saw in his vision. And the next thing that caught John's attention was the way that Jesus was dressed. You probably know one of the first things you see when you see somebody is how they're dressed, right? You look at somebody when they come in the door here and you notice how they're dressed. Well, John says Jesus was dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet. Now, in the Bible, only two types of people wore that kind of robe: a priest, who was the highest religious figure in the land, and a king, who was the highest political person in the land. The robe John saw on Jesus in his vision was the robe of a priest. And in the Old Testament, a priest was a mediator, a bridge builder, if you will, someone who brought God to the people and the people to God. Jesus is our great high priest. He is the greatest bridge builder of all time. The one who, through his life and death and resurrection and ascension, bridged the chasm between God and humanity so we can once again walk humbly with God like they did at the beginning. Jesus is the great high priest. He is the greatest bridge builder of all time. And this is really cool. Notice in that vision that John had, Jesus had a golden sash around his chest. When a sash was worn around your waist, you were still working. When the sash was worn across your chest, you were resting. Your work was done. It was complete. John was being shown that the high priestly work of Jesus was finished. all that needed to be done for humanity so we could have a restored relationship with God, so we could live a kingdom life here and now, so we could spend eternity with Christ, has been done. His redeeming work for us is complete. And notice this is also the robe of a king. John was also being shown in this great vision that Jesus, the high priest, is also Jesus, the King of Kings, a king enthroned above all other kings. Revelation 1:5 says, Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the day is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the King. And then it says his hair, his head and his hair were as white as wool and as white as snow. These words, again, were used by in the book of Daniel to describe the Ancient of Days. Daniel 7:9 says this, as I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair on his head was white as wool. Now, the Ancient of Days is a name for God in the book of Daniel. The word ancient there tells us that God existed before time. The white clothing and the white hair symbolize God the Father's purity and sinlessness. And in the vision that John saw, Jesus was just like the Ancient of Days, just like God the Father. He existed before time. In fact, John says in the gospel he wrote, in the beginning was the Word, which is Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus existed before time, and just like the Father is pure and sinless, this vision is telling John that Jesus is also pure and sinless. And then it says this, his eyes were like a blazing fire. In the Bible, fire is often used as an image for that which purifies. And we see in this image that Jesus is not only pure, but he's purifying. Just like fire illuminates and penetrates, so too Jesus' purifying gaze can look into our deepest places. It can penetrate behind the mask that we hide behind. And it can illuminate all the stuff that is damaging our lives. His gaze can illuminate and it can penetrate deep into our souls. Fire also, as you know, burns away impurities. And here's the thing, Jesus not only wants to look deep into our souls, he wants to set us free by burning away that which is stopping us from living the life that he wants us to live. He calls us to walk humbly with him and maybe in deep in your soul, and he calls us to act justly as well. And maybe deep in your soul, there's some racist attitudes. And Jesus wants to look deep into your soul and he wants to burn those away. So you can start to see everyone as created in his image. So you can start to love people the way he loves them. The question for us is, are we willing to let this amazing, glorifying, redeeming Christ look into our souls and do a work deep, deep in our lives and burn away the stuff that needs to be burned away so we can live like him? And then John says, his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. The reader who knew the book of Daniel would have gotten the point. Another vision given to King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, in the book of Daniel was a vision where all the human kingdoms of ancient history were represented as a huge statue. And the image itself was magnificent. It was constructed of precious and strong metals, but it was set on a base that was flawed. It says in the book of Daniel that the feet of the statue was a mixture of iron and clay. And iron and clay do not make a good bond. And so this amazing statue representing all these ancient kingdoms was set on a weak foundation. The vision in Daniel is telling us the kingdoms and the powers of this world, no matter how awe-inspiring, no matter how impressive or powerful, are set on a base that is flawed and will one day collapse. But do you notice in John's vision, Christ's feet were feet of bronze. Bronze was the strongest metal in the day. The glorified Son of Man had feet of bronze. In other words, his kingdom is set on a strong, firm, unshakable foundation that will never collapse. Other kingdoms will come and go, but his kingdom will remain forever. Then it says this: his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In John's day, there were voices calling everyone, including Christ followers, to worship Caesar, to worship the Greek gods, to worship all these other people. And there were all these voices calling people to worship all kinds of things. The top voice was to worship Caesar as Lord. And do you notice in this vision, Christ's voice was like the sound of water cascading over rocks. It was thunderous. It was mighty. It was powerful. In other words, it should drown out the other voices. Christ followers, we're to listen to Christ's voice above all the other voices. And that call is the same for us today. His voice should still be the thunderous, mighty voice in our lives. There are lots of voices calling us in our culture to worship different things. And yet, we should listen to Christ's voice above all other voices. And then in his right hand, he held the seven stars. Most scholars feel there's dual meaning here. In verse 20 of chapter 1, we see that the seven stars were the angels for the seven churches. But there's another really important meaning. The seven stars here represented the seven known planets in the first century. And in the first century, people thought that all of life was under the sway and the control of those seven known planets. People believed their lives were controlled by those planets, so they regularly consulted the astrology tables. And knowing where the people were at, the Roman emperors asserted their supposed cosmic rule by surrounding their thrones with stars and planets. Also, there was a goddess in Greek mythology who held the seven stars, and this goddess said, "I am the beginning and the end." And do you notice what's happening here in this vision? God is pulling back the curtain to show John what was actually true. Jesus was the one holding the stars, not the Greek goddess. The fact was, the stars and the Romans and the Greek gods didn't control life. Jesus did. And listen, he still does. Jesus is Lord of the cosmos. And then it says this: out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. Jesus used the metaphor of a sword here to demonstrate what takes place when Christ speaks. His words of truth can go deep into your soul, cutting you loose and setting you free. And then John ends the vision this way: his face was like the sun shining in its brilliance. Can't you feel John is reaching here for some way to convey the unconveyable? John was attempting to describe the glory and the brilliance of Jesus. And he said, it's like the sun shining in all its brilliance. It's awe-inspiring, but you just really can't look at it. It's amazing, but it's so bright. What an incredible image. And look at John's response in verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet, though dead. Wouldn't you? I'll tell you what, if right now God pulled back the curtain for us and gave a glimpse like John had of the vision of Jesus as he is now, every single one of us would be down on our faces. If each of us could get a glimpse of the magnificent, awe-inspiring reality of who Jesus really is, it would transform us. John encountered the glory of the living Lord, and it knocked him off his feet. And then look at verse 17. This is so awesome. And then he, that's Jesus, placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades." Christ's right hand, the one that holds the seven stars. Do you notice it? It reached out and touched John. Isn't that awesome? Jesus, the majestic one, who I just described in symbolic terms, he's not aloof. He wants to reach out and touch us, just like he touched John. That's incredible. And then he said to John, "Do not be afraid." Let me paraphrase. He says, "John, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and see, I'm alive forevermore." And John, remember death and Hades, the ultimate enemy of humankind? John, you can stop being afraid of them because I have won. I have the keys. I have stripped death and hell of its power. John, I have the keys. Jesus walked into the gaping jaws of the greatest enemy there is. And on the cross, he let all the powers that threatened to undo us have their unrestrained way with him. He let death take him captive, and people said, "He's finished, he's done, he's history." But then he burst out of the prison of death, and he carried away the prison keys. He's got the keys. Fear is a powerful force. It can paralyze us. And today, if fear is doing that to you, Jesus is saying to you, stop being afraid. I have the keys. God gave John a vision of who Jesus is in the present. And John turned and he saw Jesus, the great high priest, the one who bridged the chasm between God and humanity, the one who is enthroned above all other kings, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whose voice we should listen to above all other voices, the one whose words of truth can go deep into our souls, setting us free from that which entangles and binds us. The pure and sinless one who always existed, the Lord of the cosmos, whose kingdom is set on a strong, firm, unshakable foundation that will never collapse. The one who burst out of the prison of death and carried away the prison keys, whose glory is like the sun shining in all its overwhelming brilliance. And this commanding, redeeming, glorious figure whose dominion will not pass away, who has all authority, glory, and power, who will one day be worshipped by all. is right here in the middle of us, behind a very thin veil. Things are not as they seem. Let's worship Him. I'm going to pray and then we're going to worship. Father, this image transformed John. It's so amazing. May it transform us. May we get a glimpse of who you are. God, pull back the curtain just a little bit. Let us see Jesus in all his glory. Amen.